If you have your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 2. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. We would be lost without your word. Your word is an expression of your power. Where the word of a king is, there's power. And so, Father, today, as I share the word, may your people get a hold of it. And may they run with it, because it's so wonderful. And may I have your mind as I'm speaking. And may your people hear it and act on it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, I want to go to verse 29. Well, let's go to verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and whom they're referring to here is Simeon, one of the priests of the temple. And they brought Jesus to be circumcised. And Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. Well, one of Simeon's desires was that his eyes would look upon his Redeemer before he departed from this world. And he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Underline the word salvation. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face, notice, of all people. Wow. He didn't say before the nation of Israel. He didn't say just before Christians. He said before all people. And notice what he says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Wow. And Joseph, his mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And one of the things that she marveled at is that the Redeemer was going to bring salvation to the Gentiles. Which Judaism never did accept the fact of the Messiah having been born in Bethlehem. But Simeon, who operated in the temple, nevertheless had the ability to discern the Redeemer that was for all mankind. Isn't that amazing? Now watch this. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, the child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. When I was looking at this from the Greek, Rotherham, who was a Greek and Hebrew genius, he worded this verse a little differently. This is how he worded it. All through thy very soul shall pass a sword, that reasonings may be revealed out of many hearts. Wow. That reasoning may be revealed out of many hearts. You know, this word reasoning literally is referred to thoughts. The thoughts that go off in people's mind. Now, everyone in this church is very familiar with our teaching on mind renewing. And you've all been clearly instructed to the fact that the mind that gets renewed is not your natural mind. It is your spiritual mind. Because your natural mind and your spiritual mind only had one identity, and that was through your outer man. You only knew what you knew through your outer being, your outer man. But when you got born again, circumcision took place on the inside of you. And circumcision in the natural means the cutting away of flesh. Well, when you get born again, circumcision takes place inside you in your spirit realm. And so the Holy Spirit, when he comes down and he creates a regeneration on the inside of you. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm saying. He comes down and he takes a sword and he passes through the soul, separating your natural identity from your spiritual identity. Then you end up with what we call the mind of the Spirit. And I'm beginning to understand it more and more, but it's taken me many hours to break it through praying in spirit or praying in tongues. And now it's real clear to me, because I was taught that your natural mind is renewable. But I found out through Scripture that's impossible, because your natural mind is not willing to submit to God. A higher authority has to take place in your mind to override your natural way of thinking. And reasoning comes from the mind of your senses, where the Word of God comes to the spiritual mind. And once it comes to your spiritual mind, the Word of God has to come out of your mouth. Did you hear what I said? And knowing that, Simeon said that not only will this child before Israel will be put to death, but he'll come to life and he'll have a sword. And the sword will pass through the soul of men, separating reasoning from the Word of God. Amen. And it finally dawned on me over there in Hebrews chapter 4. Turn over there. And follow me very closely, because this will help all of us. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now follow me very closely here, because we're going to look at this out of the Greek. He says, for the word of God is living, it's alive. It's not just words written on a piece of paper, although we have it, but this word is living because God is alive. And when God gives his word, it's eternal. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will continue to live. Hallelujah. And notice what he says, is living and it's powerful and sharper than any two-mouthed sword. That's what it says, in two-mouthed sword. In other words, there's two voices that we hear out of the soul. And here's what he says, but the sword piercing or passing through to stand apart the division of the soul. And that's where I picked up the fact that man's soul contains both minds in that one soul. And thank God for the soul, because without the soul, the minds would have no place to lodge. Now, the one mind lodges in the physical brain, but the other mind lodges in the immaterial brain or mind. And so as the understanding goes here, he says that there's a division of the soul, and how that division is to make it stand apart of the soul and spirit is the understanding of the joint and marrow. Now, when you talk about a joint, you know what that means? It means what joins something to something. And marrow means what produces life in something. Our bones produce life by the marrow that's in the center of our bones. And when he spoke to the prophet and said, see these dead bones? I have a way to make them come back to life. Now, here's what it says in the Greek. The word for joint is plural. It's joints, meaning two joints. And marrows, it's plural, meaning two forms of life. And what dawned on me is one of those minds joins itself to the flesh. And one of those minds joined themselves to God. That means one will produce its life and the other one will produce its life. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Well, then, go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Last Wednesday night, I started a series called Reasoning. And as I was speaking on the message, I ended the service, and the power of God was so strong on me that I started moving out in the power of God. And several people stood up and received their healing. And the power was so strong, I said, what brought it? And he says, because you did something with the reasoning. And so, when he said here that this ability to separate what joins to what to produce its life, this is where we will actually begin to discern the thoughts and the intents of a person's heart. We're going right back to what Simeon said. He said, there's going to come a time that once he comes, he's going to be able to put a sword in the soul of mankind and separate. Separate what? What mind goes to what life? And I've found that when the Word of God comes, that the reason it becomes so inadequate for us is the fact that we don't permit the power, His power, by that Word to have its way. We reason it against ourselves. Now, if you will, turn over to Romans chapter 10. I hope I haven't lost any of you. Have I? Be honest with me. Have I lost any of you here? I'm doing my best to make it very plain because what I'm giving you will help you so much with an inward discernment. In Romans chapter 10, very important chapter, Paul starts out, my brethren, desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now notice what he said. He said that that faith does not speak on this wise or this from this direction. The first one he says, who shall bring Christ down? Israel, that is a word spoken to Israel, a Jew that was converted. Or who shall bring Christ up from the grave, which he's referring to the nations that need the sacrifice. But he goes on and says, watch this. He says, but what does it say? The word which is a rhema is near you. The word rhema is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So he's going someplace now with the understanding of how anyone gets saved and continues on in growing in their faith. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but through the road of time, I've had some very dear friends of mine who's had the goodness of God's word, the fullness of it, but I've seen them taken out before their time. In Isaiah 57, or in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 57, it talks about who will take it to heart why good men's lives are cut short. Who will take it to heart? Well, I'm taking it to heart. I'm taking it to heart. I want to know why men can't live out the fullness of their life. Wouldn't you like to know why they couldn't live out the fullness of their life? I've had some very powerful, knowledgeable men around me. And because sickness and disease got in their body, it took them out. And I know people in this body that got sickness and disease in their body. And the doctor said, you're finished. And they're here. Well, I got news for you. When I saw these two verses, sozo and soteria, and the two different meanings to them, that caught my attention. Because to be saved, sozo, what you have to do to be saved is you have to open your mouth and say something. And you know what that'll do? According to Romans 10:9, it says, once you open your mouth and say it, it'll go to your heart. And you're saved. But notice verse 9. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to soteria. Now here's what he did. He said, I would to God that Israel would have received the God whom they have a zeal for, but not according to knowledge. He says, because this is how you must be saved. You must do what? You must say with your mouth and believe in your heart on Jesus. Amen. Then he says, verse 10, because you have to grow in your salvation. Now, the words sozo and soteria are two different words. One means to save you, and the other means to grow in the blessings of God for your protection, your prosperity, your direction in life. Now, the words sozo and soteria are so closely related that you can't have one without the other. Because if you receive sozo, you get soteria. It goes with the package. John 16:33, when Jesus said this, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but I want you to be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Do you know what overcoming the world means? It means if he overcome the world, he's put you in the position to do the same thing. Salvation denotes the whole process by which man is delivered from all that would prevent his attaining to the highest good that God has prepared for him. Do you know you can be saved and not even grow in your salvation? You know what it means to grow in your salvation? By faith. Because he goes down a few verses and tells you that. By faith. Now listen to me. Salvation then means deliverance from all that interferes with the blessing God wants to give you. Deliverance from countless forms of natural plagues, internal dissensions, external enemies, and subjection of conquerors. For each individual, death terminates all relation to God for his deliverance. And if you get over into Romans chapter 8, the first thing he says is that if you don't press in and develop your spiritual being, he says, then you're about to enter back into death. What does he mean by that? You are now separate once you've been freed up by your spirit from the dictate of your outer man. Now you have the ability to take God's word, put it on your lips, and not let reasoning rob you of its power. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why it says, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. But you know what we're too busy doing? We're too busy saying out of our mouths reasonings. We're too motivated by what we see than what we believe. And I'm going to tell you something. When you look at the Word of God, Jesus clearly said, you'll have what you say. And I found out that means the reversal as well. If I let reasoning come out of my mouth, then I'm working death in me. Not life. If I let the word of God out of me, then I am working life in me, not out of me. But you know, we're so prone to reasoning that it's so scary that I can see reasoning with my own mind. And the Lord said, that reasoning will always speak because it has a history that you've lived. But you have a kingdom you have not learned to live in. And the only way you can learn to live in that kingdom and get its results is by obedience to what Jesus had said in spite of your reasoning. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something what God told me. He says, Jan, when I promised you something, it isn't because you had it. It's because I had it and I am willing to give it to you. And when I looked up the meaning of that word promise, it literally meant it's non-negotiable. Jesus bought it, paid for it, and has it in his hand. And he's asking you to use his word to get receive the power of it through that word. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then we got some Christian come along and say, well, you got to be careful about what you say. Take your old advice. Yeah. 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 Yep. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, your mind comes with reasonings through your outer man. It comes by what you see and what you feel. And the devil, his main goal is for you to get it to come out of your mouth so that he can begin to do something with you a little at a time. So subtle that you don't even recognize it coming on you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Salvation then means deliverance from all that interferes with the blessings God wants to give you. It doesn't say that he came just to save you, but he came to save you and give you his blessing. You know, I found that a lot of people who die before their time is because they simply did not understand Hebrews 1. I told you to go there, didn't I? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, came through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us. In the Greek it says, spoken to us in a son. That means that when he speaks to me, he speaks to me now through Jesus. He's not speaking to me through the Old Testament. He's not speaking to me in that last 7-year period that humanity has got to face. No, he's speaking to me right now in the Son. Whose Son? His Son. Which makes him, his Son, my big brother. Interesting, isn't it? Who being, who he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. What was in the Son was Christ, who made the worlds. Now watch this. Who being in the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know something about the present day ministry of Jesus? He is the author and the finisher of my faith. And guess what? He's seated in heavenly places. And you know what he did when he sat down next to the Father? He says to those who receive him, come and join me in heavenly places. Come on, we're going to be joint heirs of the same thing that I have promised you. You know what a promise is? It means you don't have it in your hand yet. But you have his guarantee that what he has belongs to you. But you know what he did? With every promise, he gives us a commandment. And this is the commandment for you to obey what he had promised. If he promised you healing, then there is a commandment for you to get it. The commandments is not his responsibility. It's yours. Well, what if you don't follow his commandment? You don't get it. Now, I was seeking God for more power. And I noticed that Wednesday night when we dealt with the issue of reasoning, everyone could identify with it because I gave you a list of what reasonings look like. And you all go, oh my gosh. And that's when the power came all over me. And I said, oh my, now's the time to start praying for people. Because I could feel and sense the power of God in my natural man. Do you know it says that believers, especially the apostles, had gotten to a place where they knew how to handle the Simeon of God's word. You know what Simeon is? The power of the word. And I'm sitting here seeking God for more power, and God said, if you will read right here what he said, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. God said, my word, he said, the word of his power. His word is his power. His word is his power. His word is his power. And reasoning takes that away from us.
And that's why we've got to pull down those reasonings, because that battle is in our thinking. And when that battle gets into our thinking, there's one side of our soul that has the mind of God, and it's got to bring that other mind into subjection. And that is the mind of the flesh. Because the mind of the flesh is where reasoning bursts itself. I don't know about you, but when I got born again, I got saved. And along with salvation, the Bible tells me very clear, now that I am saved, I got to grow in my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how I got to grow in my salvation is very important, because the growth of my salvation centers itself around my soul. How I think. I'm glad you're all with me. We have no business going to God's Word, where He tells us what He's willing to do, but we interpret it differently through reasoning. I had one family tell me, "Pastor, you're not living in reality." Oh, really? Remember the man that was born blind? And I said, "Yeah, I remember the parable." Well, his blindness was given to him from birth to glorify God when he healed him. I said, "Really? You mean to tell me that God would bypass a whole bunch of blind people that are already blind to make one blind? To heal one person that could have been able to see, but he predestined him to be blind so that he would get glory in the healing? Do you believe that?" And they said, "That's what we were told." I said, "Really?" I said, "You were under the wrong information. Jesus said, his parents, nor anybody, even him, he wasn't made blind because of some sin. His blindness was my opportunity to heal him." And that it would give God glory. Hi, Dave and Louise, I just now reckoned. I'm sitting there. You got me to reasoning in my mind here. No, Jesus said, "No, blindness is an opportunity for me to glorify God by healing that person." Now, if you believe that, then you will believe another reasoning, that it didn't come from God. Because God is a good God. That's why I love the Sunday school program this morning. So much of what was coming out of John and what was coming out of the different ones in the room. It was incredible. But he kept coming across with the fact that God is a good God. There's no evil in him. And he can't give evil. He can't even use evil to teach you something. And yet there's a doctrine of that flying around. Did you know that? And I'll tell you what, don't have no part of that kind of reasoning. Because it will nullify your faith. No, God is a good God. Matter of fact, the Old Testament King James Version, where they stand up and say that's the ultimate Bible. That Bible came out of the interpretation of Calvinism. God picks and chooses. God does everything. Came out of Calvinism. That's why if you have a Rotherham Bible, get one. He settles a whole bunch of issues out of the Old Testament by giving the correct interpretation. Out of Calvinism, they said God chose to kill some and to save others. They put those words in there to make God totally in control of everything. And the reason King James wanted them to interpret the Bible is because he wanted to control the people. I'm going to tell you something, God. God wants his people in control of what his goodness does for them. He wants you well. He wants you happy. He wants you to be free. He wants you in the blessings. He hates it. He didn't say, I come to keep you from the tribulation of the world. He said, I come to give you an avenue out of what you're facing in this world so that you will endure it and pass through it and come out on the other side victorious. People, God is a good God. I know that some people, you can't read their hearts. I know they mean well, but they're taken out by reasoning. And one thing that we've got to learn to do, and I don't have time to go into it, but next Sunday, the Lord willing, I'm going to talk about James chapter 3, and you are going to learn some things about words that's powerful. And we have to be careful what we let come out of our mouth once we start knowing better. And when you let reasoning come out of your mouth, that's the way you're going to go. Do you know that a lot of us, we do what comes out of our mouth? Did you guys know that? How many of you ever woke up this morning and said, well, this morning I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to get some food? My wife says, and she knows the grocery stores, and she says, now they usually have this, but I bet you they don't have it today. But I'm going to go to the store. So she sets her whole motion of her day by speaking something she hasn't done yet, but she goes and does it. Well, you know that's the way you should do with the Word of God. Because when God speaks something and says something, then you need to obey the commandment of that by setting yourself in the same direction that the Word of God wants you to go in, and do not give up on your mouth. Yeah. People, I'll tell you what. I'm giving you information where you can live out the fullness of your life if you want to. Well, we'll stop there. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that the Word of God has been destined for our spirit and to be spoken from our inner man, Father. For that is where the power of your Word is. Hallelujah. I'm seeking for the power, and the power is already in His Word. He said it there in Hebrews 1:3. The word of his power. I used to think long prayers will make his power work. I found out it is not what makes his power work or his power comes. What makes his power come, the presence of that, is I got something growing in me to the point that when I open my mouth, soteria comes out. You know, over there in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 3, it says, desire ye the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. In the Greek, it says, desire ye the sincere spiritual milk of the word of God that you may grow into soteria. What? Once you're saved, you have the ability now to grow into soteria, what belongs to you, what you were delivered from, where you can go for the blessing, but reasoning will tear you out of it every time. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Word of God. Because the Word is of your power. Hallelujah. And Father, we believe and trust in your Word because your Word is the dunamis of you. Hallelujah. Father, you wouldn't give us anything that didn't have your power in it. According to 1 Corinthians 2, Father, you said that you would lift the veil off of our heart so that the demonstration of the power of God would manifest that our faith would not stand in the reasoning of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And as we dismiss them, Father, may they go out and may they evangelize a dying world in Jesus' name. Amen. And go forth. Praise God. Praise God.